You've warned the Alaska legislature and Alaskans that the state can't expect to see continued federal funding at the levels it's seen in the past. And considering your influence in securing a lot of that money over the years for the state, where is your focus, or where will your focus be in a Congress where Republicans could be remaining in the minority and there's less money to go around?
Well, I'm not sure we'll be in the minority if the Democrats keep opposing the energy bill. As you know, the House Representative, the Speaker, turned off the lights when we tried to get the energy bill passed there. And in the Senate, the Democratic leader opposed us bringing up the energy bill. The American public demands this energy bill. And we see things changing in the South 48 considerably because of the opposition of the Democratic Party to enacting an energy bill will take us off this position we've got now of importing 12 million barrels of oil a day. But in any event, what I've been saying is we've been doing the same thing right. And when I first got back, we're a new state, and there were a lot of programs we weren't included in. We used earmarks to take a portion of what was available for programs in other 48 states and make them available to Alaska and Hawaii. And we've increasingly done that as we found the necessity as we grew and our states really improved our way of life and a lot of other things. Take water and sewer, for instance, in the rural villages. There was none. We thought the money came from the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Wrong. We found out the money for water and sewer in rural America was in the Department of Agriculture. So we used earmarks to take money for Alaska and Hawaii to bring about water and sewer projects in our rural areas. And that's going on now. We've done that now for a better part of 40 years. What we're coming into now is when we ask for money, for projects that people from other states, the senators from other states say, well, is this supported by the state? Where's your local effort? It's hard to explain to them sometimes that the federal government owns 67% of the state and that taxpayer doesn't pay anything to support our society, support local government or support state government. And Hawaii's got the same similar situation, by the way. All those islands that surround Hawaii are really not taxable. So what we've got to do is to get people to understand that we still need federal money. We still need to be included in federal programs. But the people, the members saying, well, let's see you put up some money. Let's see local money to show you've got support. And that's what I was been telling the legislature. If you want to have a partnership with the federal government in these areas that are out there in the rural part of the state, in particular, where the federal government owns all the land, and as such, it's not taxable, and therefore they should put up some money, but they're still part of the state, too, so they should get some of the state's expenditures. And I think that's what we're going to work on, is increasing that partnership and defining that the amount that has to be put up by the state and our local government in every instance in order to be included in federal programs.
Senator McCain's been a frequent critic of the earmark appropriations process under which you've been able to bring a lot of funding to Alaska over the years. And what effect do you think a McCain presidency would have on your ability to work on these issues? And how would you approach working with him if he ended up being the president?
Well, McCain is president, and I do believe he should be president because he'd be a better commander-in-chief than Obama, that's for sure. But McCain, as president, is going to be asking for earmarks as a president. I mean, the budget is earmarked by the executive branch. We're going to say, well, it's good for the goose, good for the gander. If you're not going to take a congressional earmarks, then we're going to say there's no earmarks there for you either. We're just going to put up lump sums and say people apply for it. That's the end result is going to be, unfortunately, there'd be an increased power of the bureaucracy and take power away from the president if he insists on that. But I think he'll calm down on that. As a matter of fact, the last time I heard, he was saying you can't have special interest earmarks. Well, you know, what's a special interest? Is a dock in one of these cities, is that a special interest? We're going to have to define that when he's president.
Well, jumping to a different topic here, you've expressed concern about the proposed Pebble Mines impact on fisheries in Bristol Bay. Yet on your website, I was looking at just recently, you opposed the Alaska's ballot measure 4, which would impose stricter stream and fishery protections for large mines this size. Why? Why do you oppose the ballot measure? But I know you're concerned about the Pebble Mine.
Well, in the first place, Pebble Mine's on state land. There's not much we can do about it in the federal government. But I do oppose it because of this. It's too large, and it shows building an enormous earth dam that could well affect the fisheries out there, and I think they will end up by blocking some streams. I do think that's wrong. On the other hand, the Proposition 4 will affect the Red Dog mine, the Donlin mine, the Fort Knox mine, existing mines that are operating. It could affect this Kensington mine that's ready to come on stream. I don't think that's right. I think that initiative has been written too broadly, and it's not just pebble. It's mining. And this state has been known as a mining state, and we have several mines that are very, very good. I went out and visited the Fort Knox mine, and I visited several of the others. I think that through federal and state oversight, they're operating very well. There's no reason to stop them as this proposition would.
I know that you've declined to talk about the details of your court case, but how do you, as you're talking throughout the state, how do you reassure fellow Republicans who've long supported you but are now maybe having second thoughts about your chances in the general election because of this issue and the trial coming up and this time around?
Yeah, I don't just talk to Republicans. I talk to every Alaskan about that if
sure.
they want to raise the subject.
Sure.
I bet you don't know that only two people, when I've had meetings one-on-one, are in small groups that have even raised that subject. I think Alaskans are different than they decide whether they have faith in a person, and if they do, they accept that person's approach to a situation like this. But I just tell them, you know, I have faith in myself, and I have faith in the system, and I think this it's an unfortunate thing. It's brought my family closer together. We really know what's out there. Well, the problem is, and we join together to say this is not going to affect our future, and that's it. It's a matter of faith as far as I'm concerned.
What did you think of the Supreme Court decision this summer to slash the original punitive damages award in the Exxon Valdez case from $5 billion to $500 million? And is there anything I know that I don't know about whether Congress can actually trump the Supreme Court, but is there anything beyond this that could happen with this case?
Well, I agreed with the court's basic decision, which was that it was possible to have punitive damages coming out of an incident that occurred within state waters. But I disagreed with their taking on to themselves the right to set the standard of how much those damages could be, punitive damages could be. There's no way for us to reverse that. We are working on legislation that I intend to introduce it in the next Congress to have Congress set the parameters for the punitive damages under circumstances like this, and to not let the court legislate. Well, the court, when it decided the punitive damages were in order, then went on to say that they set the standard as being the amount of the actual damages. Well, now that's an arbitrary position, and it's not something that has much to do. It is wrong in this instance. It may be right in others, but it's wrong in this instance, and it should not have been there. In view of the jury's action and the judge's action, the judge actually reduced it once, and now they've reduced it down even more. I do not like that. As to what we can do, we cannot reverse. Congress cannot reverse a decision of the Supreme Court. We can change the law so that the next instant that they ever rule on that subject again is clear as to what is their right and how damages, punitive damages, are going to be determined in an incident like this. And we're working on that legislation now.
You're probably familiar with a petition that was started by a fishing family in Petersburg to ask Congress for some relief from high fuel prices. You co-sponsored a bill with Senator Murkowski on that issue. Where is that now, and how much of a priority is that for you if you're reelected?
Well, it's a high priority, and I believe we should have it. As a matter of fact, small farmers have a fund in the Department of Agriculture. We tried to get a fund for small fishermen, and it was denied. The current majority is not really pro-Alaska, and I think it's going to be even worse if they should increase their majority. Their stand on energy is such that I don't think the Democrats are going to increase their position in the Congress, and I think it's going to decrease. They're against taking the actions that are necessary to reduce our importation of oil. We're buying 12 million barrels of oil a day and exporting 20,000 jobs for every million barrels of oil at least. So we've got to reduce the imports of foreign oil and recreate jobs in the United States and get in the position of really producing our own energy, and I think the economy will recover. And so we'll hope for the future as far as young people are concerned.